Did you know fatalities among motorcycle riders and passengers increased 11% from 2019 to 2020? Also, motorcycle accidents are 28 times more likely to result in fatalities. However, when fatalities do not occur, serious injuries usually do. Welcome to Cryptic Soup. Tonight, let's remember that getting help is a good thing, because you never know what can happen with untreated illnesses.
That shocking murder mystery out of Hollywood that ended up with up-and-coming TV actor dead. Johnny Lewis starred in the show Sons of Anarchy, and officials say he went on a violent rampage, allegedly killing his landlady and then himself. Was a designer drug behind all of it?
Hi, welcome back to Cryptic Soup. We've had a little bit of a hiatus, but we are super happy to be back. I'm Thina.
And I'm Kylie.
And we're back.
Yeah. Hi.
What up? We still are alive. Like, we're kicking.
How do we do this again?
I kind of forgot the intro. That's what I mean. You guys don't know that I paused a really long time, but I paused a really long time because I forgot what to say.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
It's weird. So whatever this sickness is, it sucks.
And then there's just been a lot of like stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's been. However, I am at my prime right now. I am the most powerful I've ever been. Corey knows about my power. Kylie, do you want to know how powerful I am?
Yes, I do.
Corey found out via Snapchat because he's like, why the fuck are you always awake? All right. So I've gotten in this new habit. I wake up every single morning before 5 a.m. I go to the gym for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. Then I shower. Then I come home. Then I take my dog for like a 15-minute walk. Then I eat breakfast. Then I take a 30-minute nap. And then I go to work. Then after work, I go to the gym.
You're insane.
Bro, I am so powerful right now. No one can say shit to me.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. I kind of feel a little dead inside. But in like a good way.
Right. I've been working so much overtime. I've been in like 10 hours of overtime every single week, I feel like. And it's fine. Like, I enjoy working. I enjoy my job. But I'm just a little dead inside, too.
Felt. That. What else has been happening in life?
Too much.
Yesterday, I was on the treadmill, and Crime Scene and Cupcakes called me. And I'm like, yeah, that's really cool to hear. And I'm like breathing like that. And they were like, What are you doing, by the way? And I was like, I'm at the treadmill. Didn't want to stop.
I can't stop. I gotta keep going.
And she's like, cool, cool. I'll let you go.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, okay, sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Also, one of my like not coworkers, but a person from work. That sounds shady. I don't know how else. What are those things called?
You know, affiliations?
That's not the word. Not like a sister company, but like a vendor.
A merge associate.
No, none of those.
A vendor.
Hey, Trent. That's it. That's the whole thing. If you found us, hey, Trent, you found us. If not, hi to someone else named Trent. I don't know who the fuck you are. But what up, Trent?
What up? Probably a vendor. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what else?
Wait, didn't you have a story about that?
Nah. That's just it. Either Trent found us or he didn't. So okay. Good luck, Trenny. So moving on. Anything else?
No,
I don't think so either.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot, but it's like it's been so long. I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
A whale died today. She died like 4 or 5 days ago. She was one of the whales in Free Willy.
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
That was like sad. A thing. The Idaho 4 case house is going to get demolished. If I remember correctly, don't quote me 100%, but I think the campus bought it and decided to make the decision to tear it down. What else?
Did anyone listen to our podcast that we recommended? Because it'd be interesting to know if anybody did, because mine One of them is weird.
Your therapy gecko and the other one?
Yeah, well, I mean, therapy gecko is weird in its own way, but it's more like in the traditional way of a podcast. But Shipworm is literally, I don't remember what they call it, but basically it's like a movie.
Mm, that's
but
interesting.
It's very cool. And I thought I wouldn't like it at first, and it took me a little bit to get into it. But once I did get into it, I was like, I'm hooked. This is cool.
Because while we were gone, we recommended some things. Kylie recommended from our archives the Jennifer Mori survival tale and the Dutch Panama girls, the Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon case. And I said Diane Downs, Crazy Bitch Mother, and the Going Postal Edmund Post Office and Cheryl shooting. Which, crazy enough, we have a listener who lives very, very close to there. And like, that's their standard post office. And they were like, dude, so talk about PTSD. I wasn't even like alive back then. However, like our town talks about it. We have like the thing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was crazy hearing like another person's.
Real life.
Account. Yeah.
POV.
So then for podcasts, Kylie said the Therapy Gecko podcast and Shipworm. I said I Hear Voices and Vulnerable, which they're kind of hosted by the same people, but they're very different. There's different like guests on them and stuff. Vulnerable is hosted by Christy Carlson Romano, the girl that was the voice of Kim Possible. And it's about like people that were in the music or entertainment industry or anything that have had bad experiences or like even just like things. It's really hard to explain, but it's crazy. Like there's one episode with like Alison Stoner, and she talked about like how Disney ruined her life essentially and stuff like that. And like, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I'm sure there's so many like backstories that we just don't even realize are happening as we're like hooked on a TV show and we're just like, oh, they're so cool. It's like a person. And
I didn't expect myself to love the podcast as much as I did, but wow, it's so good. It's so sad and like raw. Mm-hmm. And she was supposed to have an interview with Aaron Carter like the day before he left us. And so like that's kind of crazy and stuff. Like it's a really good podcast. And then the other one, I Hear Voices, that one's a little bit more comical and funny. It's hosted by her and Will Friedle, who's from Boy Meets World, but also the voice of Ron Stoppable from Kim Possible. Mm-hmm. And they talk to voice actors and stuff like that. It's so funny. It's really good.
They talk to voice actors?
Yeah, from like different shows and stuff like that. And they talk about like their memories and how they got the parts. And like, it's kind of like just like interviewing different voice actors because people don't always recognize the voice until you like have a face to the voice type thing, you know?
Right.
So it's really funny. It's a really good one too.
That just made me think, because I've been basically binging Bob's Burgers. And it's funny because when I originally started watching things with him in it, I don't remember his name at the moment. I was watching Archer, and like you want Archer to be hot because like that's just his character. But then he's not. And he's also Bob's Burgers. So like he's also Bob. And so it's just like, how can I love you in way different ways? Like, I love him as Bob because he's a dad and I love it. And then I love him as Archer because he's hot and stupid and, you know, the bad guy. And
okay, so you so did funny. That. That makes sense. I did Bob's Burgers first. And so it's really hard for me to watch Archer because I can't take it seriously because I'm like, where's the jokes? Like,
well, it's funny because they do a crossover.
I've seen the crossovers. Yeah. Those are the only ones I really love. But yeah, I did it. I did it bad. You should start with Archer.
Okay. So you won't think that Archer is hot if you don't start with Archer. So start with Archer and then watch Bob's Burgers. Start watching Bob's Burgers after the crossover.
Yeah.
Because then you'll understand.
Yeah. And then we both listed some bands. Kylie listed Our Last Night, which is her favorite band, and then The Rex. Which is not the same thing as the Wallows.
I knew you were going to say that.
Always not cross-contaminate them. What's the word I'm looking for? Cross expunge. I don't know. I don't know what word I want. I mix-a-doodle them up.
Mix-a-doodled.
I went super out of left field and I listed two recent bands I've got into that both are like kind of small bands that I found by accident. One of them I really liked from TikTok, and then the other one, they popped up on like a I was listening to the 5 Seconds of Summer like radio playlist, and they popped up on it, and I was like, oh shit, I like them too. I did Fernway and Quotes from Movies. They're both really good little pop bands.
I'll have to listen.
They're kind of fun. So okay, well, that's that.
That's that.
Do you want to hear this? I'm actually really excited. I don't know anything about this, but the intro, honestly,
I mean, is out of left fucking field.
There's a reason that I'm in the medical field, you know, like I enjoy it. So like untreated illnesses, I'm here for it.
So this case, I liked this actor from a Hillary Duff movie, which I'll talk about later and stuff like that. So I knew he died, and I had like heard about this on the TV and things like that. Didn't really dig into it until a few years after that. And then since then, the reason this came up to me was because someone he is related to posted a TikTok about how bummed they are that people get that anyone that they've heard do podcasts about it. A lot of them don't come at it from like a outsider standpoint and understand the mental illness part of this case, and they are so mean about it. And so I was like, hey, can I cover this case? And they were like, yes, will you please keep an open mind? And I was like, bro, always. You have no idea. So I'm really excited. I really hope I do it justice first off, but also it's so out of left field, and it's a crazy case. It's crazy. Because he's famous, you would think that a lot of people would know more about this case. So
yeah,
I guess let's jump on in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Jonathan Kendrick Lewis was born October 29th, 1983. He's a Scorpio.
I won't hold that against him. That's fine.
he's a decent Scorpio, okay?
There's some out there, okay?
Like, there's like three, and he's one of them.
Yes.
It's National Cat Day, so maybe that's why it's a good Scorpio day.
Maybe.
And that's also Bob Ross's birthday.
Interesting.
Surprising Bob Ross is a Scorpio?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's very interesting to me.
Very un-Scorpio of him.
Very un-Scorpio of him.
So Johnny was born to parents Michael Lewis and Devona Lewis. I've also heard it Devonia, but it doesn't spell like Devonia. Devona? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
His father, Michael, was from Washington, D.C. He was of the Russian Jewish ancestry. His mother, again, I'm going to go with Devonia. Devonia was from Alberta, Canada, and she had Scottish and Swedish backgrounds. He's mostly known as the name like Johnny K. Lewis. Like, that's kind of like what in the actor world stuck with him, like Johnny, the nickname, K as his initial, and Johnny K. Lewis. So he was born and raised in L.A., so Los Angeles, California. He lived near North Hollywood and Sherman Oaks. Johnny had two siblings. He was the middle child.
I feel like you never actually get born in L.A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who is actually born L.A.?
You just, are there.
Yeah.
He had a dual citizenship to Canada because, you know, his parents like lived there and stuff. So that makes sense. He was a Scientologist. So was his parents. So I'll get into that a little bit more. But his parents were Scientologists. And that is kind of important to the storyline, because if you haven't listened to our Scientology episodes in the archives, you need to. L. Ron Hubbard was the creator of Scientology, and there is kind of this like unspoken rule that they don't necessarily, hypothetically, not that I would ever talk bad about them, but believe in medications, especially for mental illnesses, because those don't exist. It's just another like thetan in your mind that you need to engram and all. Again, not talking shit on Scientology because I don't have the money to support my talking shit. So moving
on. But go listen to our other episode because that will make sense.
It'll make sense. So he said that his home was like more Jewish oriented in their household because like that was what his dad took over. So his dad was kind of the house, the head of the house. And he was like, I'm Jewish, so we're all kind of slightly Jewish.
Okay.
But then later, his family openly practiced Scientology, and so that kind of fell by the wayside. His parents ended up even becoming the highest available level within Scientology of the operating Thetans, also called OT-8. Again, you just got to go listen. Johnny ended up starring in a Scientology training film, even like actually quite a few of them. And he was a sponsor of the Scientology drug rehabilitation group called Narcanon before leaving the Church of Scientology in his early 20s. So he does end up leaving. And there's a few rumors here and there why, but like they kind of line up with the storylines of like maybe it could have been that like he was on some like prescription and or drugs and like they kind of like booted him slash he wanted to leave and stuff. However, there's nothing substantial that proves how, why, or when he exactly left. So I feel like that's kind of a little like you never know, like genuinely people just leave religion sometimes. That really does happen. I know it sounds like Scientology, that's impossible to do. But if he wasn't super strong into it and his parents were, it could have maybe just happened. I'm going to stick with that. I'm not going to think the worst of Johnny here. So as far as his career goes, Johnny actually began performing at the age of 5. He went to a small performing arts school and he made his debut as a Hanukkah candle.
Aw,
yeah, he was a candle in a play. At 6 years old, his mother began taking him to auditions and everyone loved him. Like everyone was enamored with him because he had this like beautiful blonde curlyish hair. He had these big blue eyes. He was like so effing cute. So everyone just loved him, right? Johnny was just adorable. He was cast in his first role at 7 years old. He was in he had like a bit part in an escalator safety video. That featured a rapping cartoon raccoon.
Okay.
Say that 10 times fast. Right.
Rapping cartoon raccoon.
He then worked in different commercials, including like Pizza Hut and things like that. But then he started getting a few bigger. So they were small appearances, but on bigger roles and like bigger things. He was in Seventh Heaven,
which I completely forgot about until right now.
Oh my gosh, I had such a Seventh Heaven phase. Did you?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seventh Heaven. Go
Seventh Heaven. Completely forgot about
it. Which is weird because I am very, very aware that is a very religious show, but it didn't dawn on me, like, even though I knew it, I didn't, like, know it. You know what I mean?
No, I still don't know it. I feel like I need to watch it now as an adult.
The whole show is based off being a Christian. Like, even the dad was a minister, if you remember. It's called Seventh Heaven because he had 7 kids and he was a religious leader and stuff like that. That's the whole point of it. And that's why the youngest daughter, Rosie, I think her name is, or something like that, why she like wanted to stay abstinence and stuff. But she liked that guy, Mac. And then Ashley Simpson was in the show. Yeah, I really liked this show.
Holy
Jessica Biel.
Crap.
It's crazy, right?
Jessica Biel. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I need to watch it now that I'm an adult.
There's so many seasons of it, too. Yeah. A few years ago, I was like, I'm going to rewatch that. And then I was like, wait, no, I'm not. I'm going to look real quick. I just want to see how many seasons there are and like just how many kind of like episodes there are. Okay, so it started in 1996. It ran for 11 seasons.
Really?
Oh my golly, that's so many. And each season, okay, so like all the seasons kind of have roughly around the same amount and it's about 22 to 26 episodes. So, that's crazy. It ended up fading in the ratings and that's why it got canceled. And it ended up in the beginning, it had like an 8 and a 9 point rating, but by the time it ended, it had a 5.2.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
1996, 2007.
That is crazy.
That time in my life, though, is such a blur.
Same.
Isn't
that's
that
so
kind of weird?
Crazy.
Yeah. Like you feel like you kind of like remember your childhood, but then it's like that whole like middle area anywhere between like 6 and 11 is just like gone. For me anyway.
Oh, I called her Rosie. It's Ruthie. My
Ruthie.
Bad. Ruthie.
You were close.
Yeah. God, there are so many famous people in this show. I forgot genuinely, like Hayley Duff was in it. Oh my God, I forgot about that. There are so many people in this show. This is crazy. Okay, I gotta get off my Seventh Heaven kick. But holy shit, crazy.
I'm definitely gonna watch it now.
He was also in Malcolm in the Middle. I fucking love Malcolm in the Middle.
You would.
I love Malcolm in the Middle. It is one of my comfort shows. I rewatch it all the time. It was my favorite growing up show, probably because the idiots reminded me of my siblings. And I love Frankie Muniz. And recently, Frankie Muniz raced in the Indy 500 or something like that.
Oh, really?
I can't remember. I saw a thing about him and he was like so happy. Oh, my gosh. I love him. I feel so bad for what happened with him. Mm-hmm. Ugh. OK. This guy, Johnny, he was also in an episode or two of Drake and Josh.
Oh, I loved Drake and Josh, and Corey freaking can quote it.
So, I mean, like, these are bigger things, right?
Like, to us.
Well, yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's like our, like, what we grew up with.
But, like, all of those, like, I feel like you at least had to have heard of or seen one of them.
Yeah.
So, he had, like, small parts, but he still had parts on these, like, famous shows. So, with that being the case, by 18, he decided he was going to leave home and pursue acting full-time as a profession. Johnny began making other television appearances while in his late teens. He got a few other roles in Smallville. I loved that show.
I actually haven't seen that show, but I've seen basically all of these others.
Pretty much, if you're in the true crime world, you know Smallville, though, because of the cult. One of the characters in that TV show, Allison Mack, went on to be one of the leaders in the NXIVM sex cult.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, like,
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. So anyways, that the OC, I didn't watch that, but I know what it's about. So
I feel like I've seen a couple episodes, but I never like watched it.
Yeah, same, because Adam Brody was in it. So I think I've seen here and there some.
Yep.
Quintuplets. I never saw any of that.
No, I never watched that.
Criminal Minds. He was in an episode or two.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all watched that. Come on. And then he was in like one or two episodes of CSI, which crazy enough in CSI. People reach so fucking hard. It's disgusting. And this is one of my biggest problems with people covering this case. What happens in the CSI episode is not like spot on, but kind of close to what happened in real life with this case.
Mm.
And people were like, it was foreshadowing his life. He knew he was crazy from the start.
Okay.
No.
He manifested it.
Like,
to become,
girl, chill. Calm down. I'm not having it with you. No, 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 no. His debut feature film performance was in 2004 in New Line Cinema's Raise Your Voice with Hilary Duff.
This is like the best movie ever.
Okay. I love that movie. But do you remember that scene? And I know you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. But when she stands up and she can't hit the note. And so she's just like rifting and she's like, hey, yeah. Ooh. And every time she hits a different note, it's a different person singing.
Yes.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. It's so cringe.
By the way, guys, I hope you loved my singing there for you.
And then she gets it at the end and it's like, oh, clearly that wasn't you.
God. Or it's like that part in the Lizzie McGuire movie when she does that, too.
Oh, God.
Hillary, you're a good singer. Just stick to it, girl.
Raise Your Voice also made me really like.
Don't say the girl that plays Sloan because I fucking hate that actress.
No. Not anyone. Not any people. The band.
What band?
The band that her and her brother were in. Three Days
Grace.
Yeah. That's when I really started to listen to them at that time in my life. Like, I started to listen to them more because of that movie.
That makes sense. I
feel like everybody did that.
He was the kid that played Kiwi, for those that don't know. So he's like the kind of like funny, quirky kid.
Super quirky.
That was what he was like in real life. He was just like fun and quirky and sweet and like adorable. Okay. Now, I just punched my mic.
I think his name was Matt, right? In Raise Your Voice, I think.
No, his name was Kiwi.
Oh, I know what his real name was, like Matt.
Oh, I don't know. They called him Kiwi the whole movie, though.
They had
like a roll call at the beginning of one of the parts or something.
Yeah. And we're like, what? That's that's your real name?
Yeah, I remember that now. Because he had the crush on Sloane and he was trying to ask her out. Yeah.
Yes.
So he was also in two other things, which are some of his most iconic roles that people probably know him from if they weren't like a Hillary Duff fan.
If they weren't in our era of, of TV.
So he had a big part in the movie The Runaways, which is the Kristen Stewart movie about Joan Jett with Dakota Fanning.
That's a good one.
He was in that. And this is what like so many people know him as. And this is, I feel like Corey's parents probably know him and stuff.
Probably.
He was in Sons of Anarchy.
Which I never watched that. I
never did either.
Watch it, but I never did.
He was Kip, also known as Halfsack, Kip Epps, Kip Halfsack Epps. I don't know. He was that. So Johnny was what they used to call a Renaissance man, meaning he wasn't just an actor. He was well-round as an arts connoisseur. He could do it all. Johnny was a prolific writer, a poet, and a painter. He was a philanthropist who donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to worthy causes.
Are you rich if you live in, if you're born in LA? Like, is that the thing that happens?
These were his movie earnings he did this for.
I know. Just.
Oh. But I mean, like his family was just, they were well enough off to, because they were Scientologists and stuff, obviously have to be.
Right.
But like he used his earnings to do this and like he wanted to be someone that like gave back.
That's respectful.
He also was an active member of a bunch of charitable organizations. Like this dude was a good dude.
Sounds like a good dude.
Yeah. If he sounds like a good dude, walks like a good dude, talks like a good dude, maybe he's a good dude.
Maybe he's a good dude. We need more good dudes in this world.
But speaking of Scientology,
let's real quick take a step back. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he was a speaker for Scientology, like I said, at one point. But part of the thing was he was a speaker for like the drug organization part of Scientology, like I talked about. But it's because also Johnny had seen a lot of his friends succumb to like drug abuse and stuff like that being part of the industry he was in.
Oh, so yeah, I'm sure.
He became an outspoken advocate against drugs, especially later in life when he had some issues and stuff like that. He was like, yo, like, I want people to know it's not the way. Johnny used his celebrity status to speak to large groups of educators and law enforcement officials about the dangers of street and psychedelic drug abuse. Huh. Again, good dude.
Psychedelic or psychiatric?
Psychiatric.
Okay.
Probably psychedelic, too.
All the drugs.
I just can't read. From 2005 to 2006, this is the one thing I did not know about him. This one's wild. Okay. He dated Katy Perry.
Oh, really?
So the relationship wasn't really long, but it made headlines because this was around the time Katy started like rising to fame. And so like they were seen together on like a carpeted event or something. Now, side note, did you know Katy Perry's real name is Katie Hudson?
Yeah, I did know that.
And she was afraid if she used her real name, people would think Katy Hudson and Kate Hudson were the same person.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, that would be an issue.
And she's like, yeah, like I want to be set apart. So, which is smart. Katy Perry. It doesn't rhyme. It like it has ring.
Well, I mean, it does technically rhyme, but
kind of. So two of her songs off the Teenage Dream album, people say and like rumor that could be about Johnny.
Hmm.
And it's the song The One That Got Away and the song Circle the Drain. I don't know either of them.
I like would if I heard it, but I can't think of it. Just off the top of my head.
I'm not a big Katy Perry fan.
I was.
I can only probably name popular songs by her, in all honesty. I'm not. I don't know. I just. She's not bad at all. She's too poppy almost.
Just never. Yeah. Never got into it.
I didn't get into it. By mid 2009, Johnny had begun dating a girl named Diane Marshall Green, also known as Diane Gaeta. So she changed her name also because she's an actress. She was a small-time actress who was on an episode or two of Sons of Anarchy. So, you know, that's how they met. During this year, Johnny decided he was going to leave. He had, like, he wanted to leave the show. He had already been on two seasons of Sons of Anarchy. And he thought the storyline had gotten too violent. So he wanted to leave so that it didn't kind of, like, start taking a toll on his mental health.
That's fair. I can respect that.
I mean, that's what Evan Peters did, too. Like, you gotta. It's hard to get into these roles. Like, yeah, I'm sure. But then he did Dahmer. So, I mean, Evan.
It's fine.
Evan, we need to have a talk, honey.
I'll give you my phone number.
Just call me.
We're moving on.
He decided, Johnny, not Evan Peters, we're over that. He decided that he wanted to start working on a novel about young musical genius making his way in San Francisco. So kind of his life mixed with Raise Your Voice.
Yeah, pretty much.
Love that for him. At the time, he was still dating Diane, and the couple found out that they were going to be expecting a child. But the couple split on April 6, 2010, right before the couple's daughter, Culla May, was born. Johnny and Diane tried making it work, even though they were separated, by living together just to raise the child. But then that was like going really, really bad. And so they split up for good. And it began a really long and painful custody battle that Johnny ultimately lost.
That's sad.
So Johnny had, around this time, also had some problems in life. So not only did he just lose the rights to his kid, he had suffered from some brain injuries and he had gotten a diagnosis with some psychiatric issues. And it was brought up to be considered, was Johnny going to be a threat to himself or anyone around him? Because that obviously plays a big part in why he could not have the kid, right? So what happened where he got these brain injuries and everything else? Okay, well, on October 30th, 2011, which was about almost like a year exactly before his death, Johnny suffered some head injuries from a high-speed motorcycle accident where he lost control of his Triumph motorcycle near 29 Palms. An MRI was recommended, but Michael, his father, scheduled the MRI test twice, and supposedly Johnny refused to take them.
Supposedly.
Yes. He refused to take them, but we don't like know why. Like, supposedly he said like he just didn't want to. We don't know if there was anything else to it, but he didn't end up taking these MRI tests. Michael claimed, the father, that he pursued and encouraged psychiatric treatment for his son, and it was Johnny who refused to comply. But keep in mind, Michael is a Scientologist, and Scientology doesn't really believe in that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's interesting that he was pushing for it so much.
So we are taking that with a grain of salt, but keep in mind, it's the only information we have. So we're going forward with it currently. Johnny was said to have issues since the accident, including but not limited to having hallucinations, bizarre actions, and illogical behavior. And I'll get into all of them.
Other than those don't sound like a great trifecta.
No, definitely not. His family claimed that Johnny would randomly slip into having some like weird, odd British accent.
Can I have that issue? I feel like that'd be kind of fun.
My ex did that all the time. No, we're really good friends. It's an okay thing.
Okay.
It was my ex Erica, and she all the time does that. Not drunk, like just sober. I'll just be like, oh, hey, like, how's your day going? She's like, yeah, it's really good. And then I decided that I was going to go take my lunch a little bit earlier. And then I had some tea for lunch and it was really delightful. And then afterwards, oh my God, I had to go into the break room and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? She just does it all the time. Like all the time. It's the funniest thing ever. I don't know why she does it. I have no idea. I never asked her. Dated her for months. Never once asked her. I don't know. I just got used to it after like second day.
Yeah, you're just like, this is a normal thing for me now.
And like everyone at work was used to it too. It's just who she is. It's quite funny. So he was doing that. I hope that she doesn't have a brain injury. I'm now realizing.
Who knows?
Maybe I should ask her if she's okay.
Yikes. Guys, check on your friends that randomly go into different accents.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, maybe. After this incident, though, he started having legal issues and law issues that also were stacking up. So he's having all these medical issues with his brain, essentially. Lost custody, and now he's having law issues.
You mean like being a bad person? Okay.
I'll tell you. Okay. I guess you're asking. Let me tell you.
Yep.
So following the legal battle with his child, Johnny went down a rough patch with law enforcement. He was arrested multiple times between 2011 and 2012. It is so confusing to read these incidents.
I read so many things, and it's kind of hard to piece like
everything
which
that
ones
happened.
Go with which, because people kind of like mix the information up because they're so close in incidents and because they were so close in the timeline that it gets very muddy and hard to understand. But I genuinely hope I have compiled this correctly and well.
You got it.
I think. This is a scary one, guys. If anyone's ever going to come for me, well, no, it's happened many times. like SeaWorld or that one case where that guy got mean.
Yeah.
But if someone's going to come for me for being wrong,
it's going to be this one.
This is the one, and I understand, and I will correct myself at a later point because I am sorry. So moving forward.
We never intend to be wrong, okay?
Ever.
It's not our intention.
Correct. He was, Johnny, arrested on January 3rd, 2012 for trespassing at a neighbor's home while living with his parents. Supposedly that morning, Johnny was lounging in the Northridge condo that his parents lived in that he had bought for them. He was watching his mother cook some omelets. She was in the kitchen doing this, and he said, you know, like, hey, mom, I'm going to go out for a walk. I'm going to go for a stroll. As he walked past a neighboring unit, he said he thought he heard cries of distress, so he broke into the house. But the place ended up being empty. Now, again, remember, he's also complaining of hallucinations and like things like that.
Right.
So the place ended up being empty, and then not long after this, two men arrived at that house and asked Johnny to leave. Now, it is said that Johnny went after them with an empty Perrier, the sparkling water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are thick bottles. He came at them with that, an empty bottle of that.
Well, some of them are also, I bet you theirs were glass.
Yes, they're glass, too.
Yeah.
They're like the green ones. You guys know what I'm talking about. So he supposedly like hit the dude on the head with this bottle.
Okay.
Which started a fight, right? The fight ended up like being taken outside because it was just so like violent with these men. And they like rolled out onto the patio outside. Well, supposedly Johnny bit one of the men on the arm and then attempted to flee the scene. He ended up getting overpowered because there was two of them and one of him. And he's not a big dude. He's really not.
No, he's not.
He's kind of like, no offense, gangly. He's like small. So he got overpowered and then he got detained until the police arrived. During this break-in, Johnny was beaten 17 times in the head and suffered essentially like another really big traumatic brain injury.
Of course.
So first there's the motorcycle thing,
which is probably horrendous.
And then now beaten 17 times in a head. And who knows if they also used the bottle on him or if they used any weapons, maybe even smacked his head into the concrete if they're out on a patio.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably just at this point the most his head could take. And yet we're going to have more. So he got charged with trespassing, burglary, and assault with a deadly weapon. And he was facing serious time for the Northridge bottle assault, as they called it.
I'm sorry. Assault with a deadly weapon. Because that could have killed, I guess. I would like to know what that definition is, I guess, because you could pick anything up and it can be a, quote, deadly weapon.
Which I maybe you there was more. Maybe like there the was intent. Something else.
Yeah. The intent of you using it. Like, my water bottle can still be a deadly weapon if I intend to kill someone with it.
I once saw him kill three men in a bar. With a bouncer.
Or did he smash it at some point? Was it sharp? Like, yeah. Like the bar dudes, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of what I went for in my head. But still, I'm just like, a deadly weapon? Really? 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 Okay.
So his lawyer ended up seeking a deal here. And he said that Johnny would spend an entire year in rehab instead of going to jail. Because clearly, like, he needed help. Well, Johnny was super confident his case would be dropped because he said it was self-defense. So he fired his lawyer
and
acted as his own attorney. Judge Cynthia Ulfig allowed this. And Johnny's like, okay, like this will work. I'm going to spend a few days in jail and resume normal life because, again, this was self-defense because I broke into the house because I heard something going on. And then I defended myself because the men like scared me, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I get it kind of his mind, especially if he has this brain injury and he's having hallucinations and everything else.
Well,
and
we don't know what he saw, what he thought he saw, I guess, or thought he heard, or, you know, specifically.
Correct. Like if he's really thinking that someone's
in danger, like he's going to the rescue and then all of a sudden he's getting beaten by two guys. Like, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I just like, okay, I've talked about on here before. I am a proud advocate for people with mental illnesses seeking therapy and help and things like that. And I'm pretty open with what I have and things like that because I've been diagnosed and I've taken medication and I did get to some darker points in my life. And I think I am at a very healthy point other than the whole going to the gym at 5 a.m. thing
twice
a day. So I'm open about it. I talk about it. I have to take medication for it because if I don't, I am definitely not myself as a person. And I don't think I'm not necessarily a threat to myself, but I'm not definitely good to myself. And I know that I have severe schizophrenia and I will legitimately have hallucinations. I will have full on thinking that I'm talking to other humans when there is no one in a room. I will have full on conversations in my head that I thought happened that did not. I will imagine entire scenarios and stuff. It's very, very toxic and it's very scary. On medication, these don't really happen and stuff. So it's a lot better. But the voices in my head are not easy to figure out. The best
they're not easy to like differentiate.
Yeah. The best way I can describe it is if you've watched the Mockingjay movies and stuff, like the Hunger Games, when PETA is at the end and he's like having to ask questions and he'll be like, I have this memory, real or fake. I have this memory, real or fake. That's kind of what I have to play with myself. Like, I'll be like, okay, wait, I had that conversation. Was that in my head or was that real? Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't. Oh, fuck. Okay. Did any of that happen? Now do I have to sift through what did and didn't and like go through it? So I get where he could literally be imagining whole scenarios because it's not impossible. And if you're in that sense, and if you thought you were helping someone because you heard something that you thought was off, like
it's definitely not your fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did not know he was in the wrong. Now, granted, he then turned violent during this escapade of that day, that incident, if you will, the bottle incident. But again, what if he was imagining, oh, my God, these are the men that just attacked whoever I heard.
Right.
Like
there's many scenarios easy
for this to go wrong.
Yeah.
OK, so after this incident, though, he pleaded no contest to the charges of assault with the deadly weapon in the case and claimed that he was acting in self-defense. Like I said, he was going to. And he ended up getting sentenced to a year in jail at the Twin Towers. In jail, he ended up getting diagnosed by the prison medics as suffering from internal bleeding in his brain.
Lovely.
So at this point, yes, clearly things are wrong. Despite the diagnosis, though, of and what they wrote on his paperwork essentially was just like a traumatic brain injury. Despite this, they never tested. They did test him for drugs, but he never tested positive for the drugs in the year he was treated for his psychosis and chemical dependency. That's all I can find out. Okay, if someone else finds out more, let me know. But I don't know if that means tested for drugs like marijuana and like things like that.
Hallucinogenics.
Or tested for drugs as in medications. I cannot find out which way they mean it, both ways, either way. Like,
well, I feel like if you're drug tested, you're drug tested for it all.
That's what I'm thinking too. But
especially again, in jail.
And especially with his parents being Scientologists, I feel like that would be something that would be talked about otherwise still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After this happens, he's in jail and you would think like it can't get worse for this guy. Right. Right. So he suffers another traumatic brain injury.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, I feel like this has to be made up at this point. OK,
I'm going to just throw a helmet on you.
He needs to like be wearing a helmet at all times. So he ended up smashing his own head into a concrete wall.
Okay.
And then he tried to jump from two stories out of a window, like out or jump two stories. He tried to jump out this window, like these two stories up, right? Well, after this injury, he ended up in a psychiatric ward. And
I would hope so. At this point, put him in a fucking bubble.
Padded cells. Like, I'm not even like trying to make fun or anything. Like, at this point, like, honestly, this is obviously
something. Yes. Like, obviously something is wrong.
I want him to be taken care of.
Yes.
He was a good dude. Yes. He was so adorable. Okay. He got coded as 5150.
Yikes.
Which is the code for involuntary confinement. And he remained there for 72 hours. I knew what 5150 was before this episode. Do you want to know why?
I did too. I'll tell you my story after you tell yours.
Because Harley Quinn writes 5150 on her stuff.
Oh.
That's all. Okay, what's yours?
Well, so my stepdad is a retired fireman. And code 5150 meant like psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of my grandma's cell phone number is 5150.
Oh my God.
And so when he heard that, he was like, I can't not think about it.
Yeah.
Like, anytime you call your grandma, you're going to think about it. It's just 5150.
That is really funny.
He went on many calls that involved 5150. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, once you know what it is, it makes sense, though. While in this confinement, his father bailed him out, and the discharge summary had read chief complaint, blunt head trauma, and suicidal because of jumping out of the two stories. Okay.
Okay.
Things got worse very quickly.
Oh, lovely.
Can't fucking catch a break. Every time you think I'm going to be like.
And now he lived happily ever after.
Well, it didn't. Of course not. So Johnny tried killing himself by slashing his wrist. He became super hypersensitive to light, which is like a sign of a brain injury.
Right.
So things are going downhill very fast at this point. By the end of January, Johnny seemed more stable, though. All of a sudden, like things all of a sudden started hitting a high point. So people are like, oh, my gosh, things are great. So his father decided to let him live on his own in Santa Monica.
That sounds like a great idea.
Ooh, wait a minute. What?
Super great idea. Super great idea.
On February 10th, he was arrested for punching a man outside a yogurt shop.
Damn.
I have no more context. So I don't even know.
He just punched a man. We don't know why.
I don't even know if it was frozen yogurt.
Oh, come on. There are very big differences there.
Yep. He was then released on a $20,000 bail. So I'm thinking that it probably, was a fight.
Well, it's probably pocket change for them.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. The reason why that sticks out to me, though, is because $20,000 for punching someone, it probably was like a full on fight and or he instigated it, something like that. Like it wasn't like a self-defense again or anything, because that's a decent amount of money for like a normal person.
Well, but he had money. A history.
True.
So that's probably not helping him either.
No. Days later, after this incident, he walked fully clothed into the ocean in Santa Monica, where he ended up later getting hospitalized because he had hypothermia. And again, people were thinking it's due to these hallucinations and stuff. So it's literally just off the rails at this point. None of this sounds like a normal person at this point. On February 18th, he got arrested again. This time he was trying to break into a woman's apartment in Santa Monica. He said he thought it was his friend's place. Again, he was released on bail.
Like, clearly something is wrong.
I know. This is like one of those cases where
it's so sad about it.
You would think, like,
if you see something,
say something. The people close to Johnny agreed that something had changed following the incidents. Like they
just
now
figured this out.
Well, prior to his injuries, Johnny never really had a brush with the law. So people were like, this is weird. And the fact that a lot of the cases were potentially like aggressive in nature because like the breaking and entering things. So a probation officer expressed that he was very concerned for the well-being of not only the community, but that of the defendant.
Yeah.
He's also getting branded as like a danger to society.
Right.
Which probably isn't easy for him to hear. And it's going to make him lash out more. Well, and because he doesn't think something's wrong right now.
He's not just a plain Joe. He's not just a plain Joe either. Like, people are going to find out.
And this is so sad because he probably is not thinking things are wrong, other than maybe he's like, these hallucinations are telling me that I'm what's wrong. Like,
right.
And that's why he's suicidal and he's upset and everything else.
Yeah.
This is such a heavy mental illness episode, guys. I hope everyone is aware. And I'm so sorry, Corey, maybe you have to put a disclaimer at the beginning. So after all that happened, the probation officer stated that Johnny was suffering from some mental health issues.
And yeah, just some.
Yeah, he needed to sort through it.
Like, okay.
It's that easy. Don't worry.
That's how you fix mental health. Got it.
The probation officer went on to make a claim that Johnny had a drug dependency and he would continue being a threat to the community he resides in. So now all of a sudden, whether it is or isn't true,
he's on drugs.
He's on drugs. And that's why all this is happening. It's not even the mental illness of the brain injuries. It's the mental illness due to drug problems, which, since he's a former person that speaks out on drugs and stuff, I'm sure it's not hard to make him look like, oh, the reason he spoke out so many years ago is he overcame. But look, now he fell back into those ways.
Right, right.
Oh, he left Scientology because he had drug problems. He left the TV show because he had drug. It'd be so easy to spin it.
Yeah.
So easy. Bill Jensen reported in a Los Angeles magazine that Johnny and his attorneys pushed for rehab for a supposed marijuana addiction.
Supposed.
When Johnny rejected this, they pursued rehab for alcoholism.
Okay.
Now, they were saying they were doing this to avoid a trial, because if he has these problems, then they'll think that that was the reason why all this went wrong and not him just, you know, being a bad person.
And it's like treatable.
Yeah. In the late time of May in 2012, the Santa Monica Superior Court allowed his admission to Ridgeview, which is a drug rehab center in Altadena, California. It has an activity list that includes equine therapy, which is like horses. Equestrian. Okay. Yoga, meditation, art therapy, all these things. So it's like, it's bougie. Legit.
Yeah.
Right. It's the one the stars go to.
It's the one you want to go to, not the one with the padded cells.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Ridgeview calls itself a dual diagnosis facility because they treat residents for psychosis and substance abuse.
There you go.
Goodness. His family believed him staying there would be better than him staying in jail.
I agree.
Yeah, well, yes, that makes sense.
I mean, staying there in general and not in jail is probably better on every sort of level. But I mean, for his mental state, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Especially because early on, he was like a Renaissance man?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like very much into a bunch of different things. So I feel like that's healthy for his brain to be surrounded.
Yeah, because it's keeping his mind at bay.
Yeah.
Kind of like, is that a good term to say? Does it make sense in that term?
Well, yeah. Or like just keeping his mind busy.
Yeah. Like, because he's now having an outlet, if you will.
Yeah. Full list of activities.
Yeah. And it's keeping his
the voices at bay.
Yeah. That's exactly the phrase I was looking for. I'm actually really glad that you thought of what I was trying to say. Yeah, it's keeping the voices at bay. So as this was all happening, things seemed to start improving. Definitely over the summer while Johnny was there, he was spending his time at Ridgeview Ranch and he was getting better, people thought. He was prescribed, and I'm going to butcher it, Zyprexa?
Yeah.
Okay. And Abilify?
Yep.
They are medications that treat schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He was taking these and it was said that he actually was resisting and taking the medication. So he was actually cheeking the pills, which means when you get handed them, you put them on the inside of your mouth, you pretend to swallow them and then you spit them out.
Yeah.
So there's two stories there. Like, oh my gosh, he's doing great because the pills are working. And then there's the story. Oh my gosh, he's doing great because he's faking it. And he's not even taking the pills. Oh my God, he's faking it all.
Right.
Ugh. Okay. I mean, I don't know which scenario I like, but I hate both of them.
Yes. Same.
In a journal entry from July of 2012, Johnny wrote, while staying there, this is what he wrote: felt more whole today. more complete. Like parts of myself had been stolen in my sleep and scattered all over the world, and now they've begun to return.
Huh.
That is really pretty, though.
It is.
It's so beautifully tragic.
Yes, beautifully tragic is the best way to explain that.
Yeah. He began planning that he wanted to return to acting via the stage this time, though.
Oh.
And he said that he wants to possibly bring Shakespeare to inner city kids and like teach them.
Such a good guy.
In August, he tragically accepted the DA's offer, though. It was to serve as the quote he was given, just a couple more days in jail.
I don't like that.
In exchange for freedom. And he would be deemed healthy enough to be granted provisional outpatient status. Okay. So he made this deal with the district attorney of the San Fernando court, granting him freedom for time served. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm repeating this a lot because you got to hear what's happening here. Johnny was assured that he would likely spend a couple more days in jail and be free. Those couple of days were over 2 months.
What assholes?
While in jail, Johnny suffered a severe mental breakdown and his health took a turn for the worse. Probably because they weren't taking care of him the same way he was at the ranch.
Right.
Johnny was released from the Los Angeles County police area of California in the jail from September 21st, 2012. He was only released due to overcrowding.
Okay.
And this was 5 days before his death.
I love our jail system.
Yeah, this is going to go real downhill really fast. So he is released 5 days before this. On September 26, 2012, 28-year-old Johnny Lewis and his 81-year-old landlady, Catherine Davis, were found dead at her home in Los Feliz neighborhood. Catherine Davis was known as, in Hollywood, she operated the Writer's Villa. So let's talk about Catherine and what that is. Catherine Davis, known by most of her tenants as Miss Kathy. She was a Texan woman who had moved to California in 1950. She attended UCLA and worked in various publishing jobs before marrying a man named James F. James H. Davis. After she gave birth to a baby girl in 1958, Davis and her husband purchased the grand house in Los Feliz. By the 1980s, she was divorced. Her daughter, the writer Margaret Leslie Davis, was grown up. So Miss Kathy began a successful career as a real estate agent, using her own spacious empty nest as a temporary base for well-heeled clients as they house hunted. Huh. So pretty much like she was that really cool bitch that's like, oh, you're an up-and-coming artist. Like the middle house. Stay here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had some crazy people. Over time, her home evolved into this extended bed and breakfast for up-and-coming performers, directors, or writers. Val Kilmer? He stayed there? Huh. Crazy. Parker Posey? Chris Parnell? Like, all these people lived at the villa. Like, oh, there were quite a bit of famous people.
I've never heard of this place. It's weird.
Yeah, me neither. So, and it's literally, it looks kind of like a little apartment type area. It's so cute. So,
it probably costs a fortune.
Oh my God. There, but, yeah. You know. Yeah. So they enjoyed the company of this good natured landlady and everyone loved there. Like every single person, even to this day that ever lived at Miss Kathy's was like, oh my God, best time, best, great. Like, which is crazy because when your landlord lives with you, usually it's not a best time.
Right. I'm thinking of so many, like so many things in movies and TV shows where it's never a good time.
Especially if this is like a house that's turned into like a bunch of condos. It, to me, again, I'm doing this based off what I look like or what it looks like. It looks like an open floor plan. Like you all share the same kitchen. You all share the same bathroom, stuff like that. Like it's like a roommate situation more than anything almost.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost thinking of the Umbrella Academy house.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Johnny had previously lived at this residency. Actually, he had stayed at the villa before. And the villa was at 3605 Lowry Road. So like a lot of people know like kind of where that's at. If you know California, I
do not.
Been there. Can't tell you shit.
Been there. Got the T-shirt. Have no idea what I did.
Nothing else. So in 2009, he had lived there. So when he was kind of acting more and stuff like that. And now he's recently moving back there. Right.
OK.
Police were called by neighbors after claims. Here's what they claimed happened that day. Ready? Johnny violently attacked two people at the property next door, and then they heard Davis screaming. So officers from the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, came and found Johnny's body laying face up in the driveway with no pulse and blood running down the pavement. He was visibly dead. Authorities noted that Johnny's left eye socket was entirely caved in. His skull was smashed just off center, and he looked as though he had probably hit the pavement and died instantly. So the next step, authorities and investigators decided to go inside because they were like, okay, what happened inside that made him do this? And they found a gruesome sight. The investigators had to step over broken glass as they entered the large bedroom of the southwest corner, which was Johnny's room. They found a rusty hammer with traces of blood on it. And then they followed the traces of blood around the house, and there was a trail of destruction from the attached bathroom where they discovered the body of a dead cat in the shower that was covered in blood and its skull entirely bashed in. This was Davis's cat. Then across the hall from Johnny's bedroom was the master bedroom, which would have been Kathy Davis's room, the landlady. And there was blood all over her bed frame, her wall, her table, and her chair in her room. On the floor next to the bed was her body. There was severe blunt force trauma to her head that had fractured her entire skull and obliterated the left side of her face, leaving her brain exposed. And that is a direct quote from the coroner's medical office examiner, Kelly Blanchard. And that's what she wrote in her report. And then she followed it by saying, brain and tissue matter seen on the floor around her. There was also her face covered in blood. Her nose was split down the middle and her upper jaw was split open.
Jeez.
Yes. There were also four small puncture wounds on her left cheek. They presume this was from a mechanical pencil because they found one next to the body.
Okay.
Then they noted that the force of the beatings was so severe that they think that investigators believe that Johnny also stomped on her skull repeatedly with his foot.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even.
I told you this goes from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Like, that. What the fuck? We were having such a, like,
I mean, not a good time.
But. No, but like such like a, oh my gosh, this case is crazy. And now it's like, oh my God, this case is crazy. What the fuck?
Right.
Now, there were some people that were claiming to be eyewitnesses. They were neighbors and they reported the event went as this. Johnny came home. He jumped over the fence to the next door property. He assaulted a house painter who was like the homeowner next door, who he earlier had introduced himself as John, your new neighbor. So like Johnny came over and said that to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He then jumped back over the fence, back over to Davis's property, and he attacked her. So after introducing himself to the confused neighbor who was named Dan Blackburn, Johnny supposedly then went back over to the house and then confronted Davis in her bedroom. He strangled her and then beat her to death, then chased her cat into his bathroom and beat the cat to death too with a hammer. Some of the neighbors claimed the anger was boiled over because, okay, I didn't mention this. Way earlier, when Johnny was living with his parents, there was this one small incident where one day something went wrong and he like flipped the fuse box off outside. And his parents were like, why the fuck did you do that? And he's like, because. And like, this was around the time of the hallucinations. So they were like,
okay.
Okay, Johnny, whatever. Now, crazy enough, that same day, Johnny flipped the fuse box off at Davis's house. Okay. Mm-hmm. And supposedly this pissed Davis off a little bit. Like, just like, oh, that's inconvenient, Johnny. Why would you do that? Like, I was in the middle of doing stuff. So she like reprimanded him. And supposedly that made him lose his temper. And that's what leads to all this.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So according to LAPD, Johnny then either fell or jumped off the roof or the garage or the patio of Davis's house. And that's what led to his death. His death was then investigated as a homicide because like they were like, just to make sure that. What if, you know, maybe someone did come back and like kill him or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was later determined that he had killed Davis by manual strangulation and the blunt force trauma to her head. And then that's when they think that he committed suicide. The coroner later noted that Johnny had fractured Davis's entire skull. and obliterated the left side of her face, leaving her brain exposed. And the brain matter could be seen on the floor around her, like I talked about earlier. Like, that's when they started noticing how violent this crime was. And that's why they were like, this is definitely a homicide to Davis. There was no way around saying that Johnny did not kill her.
And there's no way it was like an accident.
No,
like
it was it was overkill. Yeah, there was no way this could have been like defense.
Okay.
Especially even with the cat involved. I mean, you know what I know?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I know. I'm going to say you know what I mean.
You know what I know.
You know what I know. You know what I'm thinking. That makes sense. Johnny's attorney speculated that Johnny had suffered from a drug-induced psychosis. So now we're bringing drugs in again.
Right.
And he allegedly killed the landlady. And so then the LA Times decided to run with this and reported that detectives assumed he had taken the synthetic drug known as C2I or Smiles. And so now everywhere thinks that this was a drug fueled thing. Even though we don't have that at all.
We don't have any evidence of that.
Nope. So other news and internet reporters were claiming that Johnny was also on bath salts, because earlier that year, that was when the whole bath salt thing happened.
Yeah, I was going to say that's about right for that time.
So now we're also getting bath salt stories. So they were like, okay, obvious step. We got to do a toxicology report on Johnny's body. Well, toxicology reports came back negative for alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, psychedelic drugs, and antipsychotic medications. So...
Fuck on that.
Yeah. Fuck all the fake rumors here right now for a minute. Like, let's chill for a minute. Let's pump the brakes.
Listen to the science, please.
An autopsy report released on November 29th, 2012, stated that Johnny did not have any drugs or alcohol in his system that day, but indicated that he had suffered partial strangulation and had fingernail marks on his neck when he died, probably from Davis trying to fight back.
Right.
There was no indication that Johnny had been pushed or anything, except that he had potentially jumped from the 15-foot height of the roof, and it was an act of suicide, and so his death was ruled accidental suicide. On October 7th, 2012, Johnny's friends held a memorial service in Hollywood. The aftermath of the incident caused Johnny's family to speak out about Johnny's history of untreated head traumas. Which is where a lot of people started speculating that he had developed a psychological disorder, and that's why he had sudden spurts of violence, which makes sense because he wasn't getting treated.
Right.
Now, the Sons of Anarchy creator, Kurt Sutter, he had like a blog, and he wrote this on the blog, but he also wrote this and like talked about it in interviews because he obviously knew Johnny really well. So he said, "It was a tragic end for an extremely talented guy who unfortunately had lost his way. I wish I could say that I was shocked by the events last night, but I was not. I'm deeply sorry that an innocent life had to be thrown into his destructive path." That's so sad, because I think he's saying that. I mean, I'm speculating.
Like, knew it.
But yeah, he saw it going downhill. So some people pointed the finger at Johnny's parents when this all happened, because they were like, they're Scientologists.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
A religion that strongly discourages psychiatric treatment and help. But remember, Johnny's father said that he always encouraged his son to seek help. So we don't know for a fact, like, that much about that part.
Yeah.
So that's that. That's literally everything. That's the end of it.
So sad.
Isn't that really sad? Like, I never really, I guess, like, it didn't dawn on me, like, why I didn't see him in things past that after, like, Raise Your Voice and stuff. And then I, like...
Well, and you also get, like, the tabloid version of everything. Yeah. And you don't actually get the research
I heard the bath salt version. That's what I heard, in all honesty. And that was, I was like, oh, shit. That guy from Raise Your Voice did bath salts and, like, murdered his landlady. How crazy. And then he killed himself.
No, exactly. Yes.
I didn't even know about the cat until I started researching it, to be honest. But, and so that's all I knew. And then when I started, like, learning more, and I saw, like, the people being, like, I hate that people talk about him being, like, a druggy, or that his parents hated him and that's why this all went wrong and stuff, and I was like, oh, shit, I need to hear more about this. And I was like, it's not like super true crimey, but it is true crimey, and it's also something that's just like, this is sad. One of those things that needs talked about. Yes. Like, oh my god,
get treatment.
Whew. And it all started with a motorcycle incident, and Corey and Kylie are avid motorcyclists Motorcyclist.
Riders.
So they're riders. They're the Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
No, but they ride motorcycles. And so we are strong advocates of like motorcycle and like car and road safety type yes. people, like all of us are. So, I mean, this is scary how fast this went from one incident to two incidents to three incidents to just entirely batshit bonkers downward spiraling.
Yeah.
Whew. Oof. So for sources, I did forget to list them in this episode, and I'm really sorry, but I like, which sucks because I want to give as much credit as I can. I did use some of the coroner reports. I did use some legal reports that I could get. And then I used a lot of like IMDb for his like early young life, using like for what he was in when he got his roles, things like that. And then I used like resources from his family speaking out on blogs, on posts. I used resources from like the news like articles and stuff yeah. like that to find out what was and wasn't true, and then cross-reference. And then I used some police reports itself. So I used probably for this one case more articles than I've ever used. I probably used upward of 30 to 50 articles and stuff, but I could only use like maybe a single paragraph from things. And then I had to cross-reference it like 20 times.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I forgot, because I think I was trying to compile it and then I just in the end forgot to put it on here. But if anyone wants any information, I will try to find anything I can and I can let anyone know. And if anyone has anything they find out or would like to correct me, I am always open to talking about cases and getting more information on anything. And if it's something that I figure out that I need to fix or correct, I will do that on a future episode also. And I will give you credit where credit is due for putting me in my place in a good way.
For putting me in my place.
In a good way, not in a bad way. So
yeah, be respectful.
Yeah. So I really, really hope I did Johnny and Johnny's family some justice here, because this case is not just this kid who was in the limelight and had a drug problem and killed someone. Right. And that's what people, I feel
that's
like
that's what the tabloid heard. Version. Yeah.
And it's hard released. To get that out of your mind once you hear that, I feel like.
So, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, especially in that time where everyone was like, oh, yep, that dude did bath salts.
Yeah. And probably because correcting it wasn't easy, because everyone's like, oh, well, no, if it wasn't bath salts, no, did you hear, though, that he broke into that house years before? Like,
obviously, he seems drugs like
he
were
has
involved.
A lot of issues. Right. Oh, he went to a rehab facility. So clearly he did have drug problems. Like,
right. Rehab doesn't always mean drugs, guys.
That's another thing. And people don't get that sometimes. So, well, I'm glad that I got to cover this case, though. I didn't tell Kylie much about it on purpose.
Yeah, I've
been keeping this one under wraps because I just wanted to, I wasn't trying to like gatekeep it or anything. Anyone can talk about this. I would love more people to. I was trying to keep it under wraps so that Kylie didn't look anything up.
Yeah, because I would have 100%.
Because I felt like once this was one of those sweater pulling type things, like if she unraveled a little bit, she would have started unraveling more. And I wanted yep. her to go into it with a clear, like not even hearing the tabloid version, so that she didn't have an idea thinking that she knew, oh, it's going to be a drug story in the end, and then be like, oh, shit, it's not. That's cool. Whatever. I wanted her to hear the progression of how crazy it got and why it should have been solved earlier on.
I do want to say, like, when you look him up, it doesn't say anything that he like.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's a lot. The internet is a lot cleaner and safer now for
yeah,
him.
It's a lot nicer than you think it would be. But yeah, it's just. Wear a helmet, guys.
Yeah.
Wear a helmet.
So that's. Whew. 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 Whew.
I'm going to go watch Razor Boys now.
Yeah, it like I wanted to as I was writing this, but then also I was like, God, this makes me really sad right now, yeah. too.
I just like keep picturing him in his room, like smashing those drums.
And he was just so like
carefree.
This man and, yeah. seems so carefree and like lighthearted and stuff that I don't think this was
well,
him.
And it's like super.
He was also very young still, and he yeah. wanted his kids. So like if you like. No one, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's respectful that he was like, you know, I'm going to like stop because I'm getting too far into it. You know,
Like, we lost Heath Ledger because of that. It's just like, no one talks about the mentality of what it takes to be an actor like that.
Yeah. Like, we earlier discussed the Evan Peters thing. There's a few other people. I think Jessica Biel actually even talked about this before in the past, too. I think she took a hiatus, and I thought she said it was due to stuff like this. But, yeah.
You just gotta, like, ground yourself again.
Depending on the roles you're in, things like that. And if something goes wrong, and he was in Sons of Anarchy, it was a violent role. He started having his own issues. And luckily he was like, hey, I want to take a step back. But then sadly, that backfired in his own way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this. Let us know if you kind of liked this weird true crime type, like, kind of off brand. It's kind of like how we did, like, the boy band con. We did SeaWorld. We did, like, Unit 731. Sometimes it's not like just like a full on murder true crime. It's just kind of like a. It's in the true crime world, but it's not like, I'm not trying to talk shit or anything. It's not Bailey Sarian true crime, where it's just like, it's a case. We're presenting it from start to finish type thing. I'm not talking smack about her. It's just, she has a outline style,
yeah,
that she follows, and that's her gimmick.
Like linear
yeah,
type of storyline.
So, I mean, I know some people really have liked when we've done things like that in the past. So I try to keep it a little mixed up, a little jumbled, so you get a little of all of it.
I like these stories more than the she was bludgeoned to death, you know. Like,
I bet you do.
I do. I like the mystery. I like the history. Oh, for the mystery.
Do you?
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, I did feel like this one was really heavy, though, because it had murder, it had mental illness, it had suicide. It had all of the boxes you could check.
Yeah.
So I did decide that next week we're going to do a real lighthearted, just a fun old cryptid to bring back in the happy vibes. I don't think I've planned out that much further in advance past that, but I think I do know the next one will be a cryptid, though. So
a cryptid.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in and staying with us and hanging out. And sorry we took a hiatus, but thank you to all those that have stuck with us and helped make this podcast what it is, because you guys are all a part of the CSP family. Big thanks to Corey, core.media.photography, every week for doing our editing, because he's a busy guy that has a lot of other side projects and stuff. And so,
no kidding,
the fact that he's willing to help us out, it helps us out.
We appreciate. Yeah. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, which is at Cryptic Soup Pod. Our DMs are always open for suggestions, so slide on in. You can also join the Facebook group, which is Cryptic Soup Pod Official. In this group, we post further updates on our lives or the cases, so join us and hang out on the socials to stay up to date and be a part of the CSP fam. All of our links can also be easily found at crypticsouppod.com as well.
We've recently got a little bit more of an influx of requests, and I do try to talk to the people each time they put in a request. I tell them kind of how far out I have episodes currently written, and or like if we have like a theme coming up for a month or something. So I promise I get to all of them, but sometimes I will get to them in like 2 weeks, but sometimes it'll take me like 2 months. So bear with me, but if you guys have any requests, you guys can always send them to us, because it also sometimes opens us up to a case that we don't know much about. That's how we did the Edmund Postal shooting. The Going Postal was one of our friends had suggested that to us, and it was enlightening because it was not something we knew a ton about and we had not heard very much about. And it's something
that I'm still not going to use that term.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you guys have any requests, always feel free to send them. We're building the 2023 list up. So thank you also to anyone that leaves an Apple Podcast review or rating and or a Spotify rating, because it helps us get our name out there. And also it just gives us the warm fuzzies, like we always say, because, I mean, who doesn't want to hear if you're doing awesome or if you're not?
It's words of affirmation. Okay.
It's our love language. So, guys, remember to subscribe, follow, tune in, keep up with us, and remember to join the conversation, where we'll see you next Tuesday for the next episode.
Stay tuned. occurred 28 times more likely to fatalities not occur. Serious injuries are usually evident.
I think both make sense, but neither one sounds good.
Is that it? Is that the problem?
So do with that what you will. Sorry.